Well, last night you would have heard, and in the early hours of this morning, there was a claim by the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, NUMSA, and Transform RSA, that they had gone to court and had won a court application stopping the Energy Ministry and the Minister, Jeff Radebe, from signing a series of independent power producer contracts. Now, these would be private companies. They would be producing renewable electricity, solar power, wind power, etc., and they'll be selling that to Eskom. Now, NUMSA and Transform RSA went to court saying that the 30,000 people who work in these coal mines, in these coal-fired power stations, in Mpumalanga, would be losing their jobs as a result of this. It then turned out later in the day, the Energy Ministry said that it had not lost a court case, but the case had simply been postponed, and the minister had decided on his own volition to simply pause the process before signing the contracts. As far as we know from reports at the Energy Ministry headquarters, those contracts have not been signed. You'll hear both sides of this argument, but let's just start with the President of Transform RSA, Adil Ntshabaleng, on the line from Sandton. Adil, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Stephen.
Renewable energy is cheap. It doesn't harm the environment. It simply, I think, is the future. Why are you trying to hold it back?
Well, the myth that renewable energy is cheap is not the truth. I mean, the cost to Eskom currently, the charges that actually IPPs are costing Eskom's balance sheet is about 25% of Eskom's revenue, right? And they are only generating about 5% of the electricity grid. So I think we mustn't mislead people and create the notion that renewable energy is cheap. It is not cheap. Eskom has to cross-subsidize the cost that it loses in terms of purchasing from IPPs, and that cost has to be passed on to the workers, and at the end of it, the consumers bear the entire risk.
You say all of that, but those are largely startup costs. We know that the cost of, for example, solar-powered energy is getting cheaper and cheaper. Coal is staying roughly the same. In the end, it is going to be solar power. It is going to be wind power.
Yes, and when the costs are coming down, right now the IPPs are not at the cost where we are looking at it. It is not even comparable to coal, and which we have in abundance. And not only that, living in South Africa and knowing that the current grid that we need base load energy and electricity so that we can push massive industrialization, putting back power lines, putting back power industrial industries into the grid again, and making sure that we can actually kickstart the lost capacity which we had in terms of industrialization, particularly the aspect of bringing back into line aspects like your smelters, refineries. We can do beneficiation, and we can make sure that reindustrialization of our economy happens. So you need a massive, you know, base load power stations to do that. Currently, they're looking at IPPs. It means you have to cut down on the current power generation capacity, meaning that a few, about four or so power stations have to be shut down, particularly in the Mpumalanga area.
President Cyril Ramaphosa says we have too much power. This is surely the right moment to change the power mix.
Too much power at what cost?
No, we have too much power. In other words, and if you look at the figures, Adil, I mean, the figures don't lie. Even Matselo Koko used to tweet them out. We have too much electricity at the moment. There is an oversupply. If you're going to make a change, this is surely the right moment to do it.
Yeah, because Eskom had issued out a mandate to say that industries must actually go into a slowdown. As a result, when you go into a slowdown, you're going to have power in excess capacity, not because there is no demand for energy. Currently, energy costs in South Africa are exorbitant. We want the poor to have access to proper energy as well as guaranteed energy at a cost-effective rate. And not only that, the workers must be able to afford the power in the country. And the excess power that is spoken about, the 5,000 megawatts or so that is actually referred to, is power that was actually saved when we lost over 76 plus smelters in the industries in South Africa. We used to be a massive smelting industry, an industrial country. We're no longer in that scale because we lost all of those industries to overseas. So when we say we have too much power, yes, on the grid, but IPPs are not adding on to that power. Remember, IPPs mostly contribute to what is not even base load. it's daylight energy that is produced and not base load energy. So I don't think the issues are to do with regards to the aspect of whether we have too much power. We need excessive amount of power in order to industrialize.
You just said we need more electricity, but we'll come to that. Let me just put this question to you. We do need to address it, Adil, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. Parts of Mpumalanga have terrible pollution as a result of these coal-fired power stations, right? You can keep people employed now, but you're probably going to shorten the lives of their children who are born and grow up in those areas because of the pollution. I mean, I understand, of course, you don't want unemployment. But the fact is, we can't keep producing electricity using coal. It's going to destroy the planet.
And yet we have huge amount of coal in abundance. And yet countries that are highly industrialized are still using coal as a source for their base load energy production. So I think the argument is not to say renewable energy is wrong. Nobody ever made that huge argument. We are not talking about renewable energy uses. We are talking about energy mix on the basis that the current energy grid that we have is far much more costlier to the consumer. Are we in dispute that the current IPPs that we have are giving us cheaper energy than the current base load that we have?
Your organization is Transform RSA. Your Facebook page has plenty of stuff about Johan Rupert. You, Adil, I know, are seen as a commentator. That's how you're described on ANN7. Are you a Gupta front?
I have no knowledge of the Guptas. I have never met the Guptas personally. And yes, we, from time to time, whenever people want to dismiss whatever we say in terms of its content reliability, we will always be brushed off as the Gupta, which is wrong in a country like South Africa. What is wrong when organizations like Outer raises an argument, nobody dismisses them on any basis except the fact that they carry an argument that is of substantive nature? When we raise an argument of any nature and we can approach a court and they give us an order on the basis of the merit of our application, and then instead of looking at the merits of our application, people start the aspect of actually tainting us as an organization into pushing us into a corner. Oh, no, these are so and so and these are so and so. We do not approach this matter on any basis but the rationality of the law, application of the rule of law, as well as the aspect of constitutionality. That critical test at the court were put into line, whereby we were looked into as an organization. The other aspect of it in terms of what was the merit of the application. And passing the
Well, they didn't. I'm sorry, Adil. I mean, the court didn't make a finding on the merits of the application. It postponed the application.
I was present at the court case. So I know what transpired. It was a proper hearing whereby we spoke about all of this, and the counsel presented their all arguments. And the matter was ventilated on the basis of agency.
Was there a finding?
And we passed the agency test. And that is when the judgment was offered to say that this matter is, in this case, requiring, in terms of a hearing, and all of the applicants must be given the chance to get this matter finalized and heard properly. And on those basis, we qualified and we were awarded agency on those basis.
So you're given agency but no filing. It's okay. The Optimum coal mine, right? You know that mine, owned by the Guptas, thousands of people who weren't paid. What intervention have you made there?
On the Optimum coal mine?
Yes.
Why should we make an intervention on a private coal mine when it is owned by an entity? What about
Because you're happy to make an intervention on behalf of workers here.
No, Stephen, we must not deceive our people, whereby when we talk about issues of South Africa's economy, we always isolate and put people and punch them into a corner. There are many other mines that are failing in South Africa. There are many other operations that are actually being sabotaged as we speak. Nobody has ever stood up and saying, why was there no intervention on this matter? We picked up the matter of IPPs. You know why? Because the cost overrun on the IPPs in terms of the consumer and the workers is going to end up at about 1.4 trillion. And it's going to even be one of those big mega mess ups that we have currently today.
So is
like
coal.
The project that was done in the arms deal. Why are people not saying that?
So,
why are people not saying that
Adil,
the work that's going to come out?
Adil. All right. You said that there are many projects that are being sabotaged, right? That
yes,
was your
economically, friend. Yes.
Okay. Name three.
You said Optimum. In
yes.
the mining industry, how many mining projects? Where are the black mining companies
you
that
said,
are supposed
you
to be
You said
given
three. Just
prospects?
Name them.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, where are the mining companies that are supposed to be given opportunities in terms of prospecting? We have licenses as black operators. We never get opportunities to ever actually ever come up to where we can be funded and everything. We just saw VBS being naturally closed down as a mining, as a banking company, which was supposed to be helping black industrialists come on board. The other aspect of it is the access to credit, for instance, from black people who want to access credit in the banking sector and industry, they never get opportunities. So on those bases, if you want to know, we can give you a thorough report of what is happening within the economy on a sabotage level on a regular basis, whereby we are seeing that when we call for radical economic transformation, it is always translated as the slogan that will never be achieved. But we know that it is an imbalance to have a country of 80% population living at the marginal poverty level, and yet a minority in that 80%, which is black, white, and Indian and colored, are living well. It is not correct. It is an anomaly, and we must accept that. So to do that, we are saying industrialization, bring in the power grid that we require, look at the projects that are going to create permanent jobs, not temporary casual jobs, and are going to actually cause more energy poverty. And not only that, are going to cost us a fortune to maintain.
Adil Ntabeleng, president of Transform RSA. We'll take your calls. We'll get a reaction from, have you heard the comments there from Transform RSA? The people on the other side of the fight, if you like, the people who want renewable energy to be used by Eskom and by government, are the South African Renewable Energy Council. Their chair is Terence Govender. Terence, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Stephen, and good afternoon to your listeners.
What do you make of the arguments of Transform RSA and NUMSA? They say that people are going to lose their jobs.
You know, Stephen, when this program was put together by the Department of Energy, one of the key drivers in terms of the competitive bid process was to make sure key governmental aspects are met. And one of them was job creation. The other one that all IPPs had to adhere to was localization. So over a 20-year period, the IPPs have committed to government that they will not only spend money on local content during the construction, but spend money on economic development, SMMEs, over a 20-year period. So the program is very holistic in the way it is structured. It's not only to have that green energy on the grid, like you rightfully said. It is about today and our future of the planet, but at the same time, making sure we create a sustainable program. Now, this whole program, Stephen, was created on the back of our integrated resource plan. Government looked and modeled various sources of energy, and there is a generation mix, including coal, including gas, including renewables, and, you know, the much-debated nuclear that forms part of the entire mix. This process has been through a public process since 2011. You know, when government went through the IRP, they put it in the public process. When government went through the structure of the procurement program, it was put to the public. So all of the concurrence we've got from NERSA and from the DOE and the Treasury for many years, since 2011, has been out there. You know, so I'm struggling to understand why, you know, a last-minute application goes to court to stop this move that we need to make now to get this economy kick-started.
You will have heard Adil Ntabeleng from Transform RSA there. He says that independent power producers, the electricity they produce is more expensive than coal-fired power stations. Is that correct?
I disagree with that, Stephen. You know, and I do agree with the comment you made as well. A lot of these statements get thrown out and et cetera out of context. You know, we welcome an engagement with Transform RSA and NUMSA to discuss this. What numbers are they quoting and what are they looking? Why is renewables more expensive? I mean, South Africa has been through a procurement program since 2011, and there's about 6,000 megawatts of renewables that has been procured. And we've seen a massive decrease in the tariff. And the last round that was procured, you know, there were very cheap tariffs awarded. Now, NERSA, who is the energy regulator, does an evaluation based on value for money, and they do the tariff comparisons, and then they will issue you with a generation license if they see this value for money in terms of the tariffs. They've issued 27 of those IPPs with generation license. That's their job. That's what NERSA does.
Terence Govender, thank you very much indeed. Chairperson of the South African Renewable Energy Council. 24-